And now stay tuned for the program that has rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history.
Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this evening's show, we'll celebrate the birthdays of Howard Dietz, Arthur Freed, and the state of California, and fulfill a request. So why not stay a while and linger a while? And speaking of lingering a while, here's Sam Lannon's orchestra, who are gonna linger a while. The Street Singer, Arthur Tracy, and Stay a While from a Decca 78 wax November 2nd, 1935. Stay a While was written by Al Goodhart, Al Hoffman, and Maurice Sigler, and is from the film Limelight, which starred Arthur Tracy. Before Arthur Tracy, it was Benny Goodman's boys, including trumpeter Wingy Minone, who provided that little vocal break on After a While from August 13th, 1928. After a While was written by Benny Goodman and Bud Freeman, who played tenor sax in the band. After a While was preceded by Once in a While. That was Louis Armstrong and his Hot 7 recording in Chicago on December 10, 1927. We started the show with Sam Lennon's orchestra on a Banner 78 wax November 26, 1923, and Linger a While. Harry Owens wrote the lyrics and Vincent Rose the tune. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. A couple of weeks ago, we spotlighted Fred Rose, whose birthday was August 24th. We played a number of Fred's compositions, but listener Will asked if Fred Rose ever recorded any vocals. As a matter of fact, he made a number of records for Brunswick, including Cuddle Up a Little Closer, Gee, But I'm Blue, My Melancholy Baby, Honest and Truly, and this.
You're the one and only one, 'cause you're the one for me. Every smile makes life worthwhile, because you smile for me. I can tell the world what bliss is, living in a world of hugs and kisses. You're the one and only one, 'cause you're the one for me. I first met you, and everything's rosy, say everything's new. Every day there's a golden ray just shining right down my way. Say, you're the one and only one, 'cause you're the one for me. Every smile makes life worthwhile, because you smile for me. I can tell the whole wide world what bliss is, living in a great big world of hugs and kisses. You're the one and only one, 'cause you're the one for me. You're the one and therefore
one and therefore I hope you care for me. Listen to my pleading, you're the one I'm needing. I love you so sincerely. At last I've met my fate, I'm glad that I could wait until I found someone like you. You're the one I care for, you're the one and therefore I hope you care for me.
Irving Kaufman with Lou Gold and his orchestra, May 6, 1930, and You're the One That I Adore. Before that, it was America's radio sweetheart, Miss Ruth Etting, and You're the One I Care For. You're the One I Care For was written by Harry Link, with the music by Burt Lown and Chauncey Gray. That recording is from January 16, 1931. We began that segment with a request from listener Will, well, not so much a request as an inquiry, for a vocal by Fred Rose, or Freddie Rose, as he was credited on the label of that Brunswick 78 from May of 1927, and You're the One for Me. You're the One for Me was written by Paul Ashe and Walter Donaldson. I try to play as much music as possible in this show's brief hour, and I could probably squeeze one more record in, but I want to take that time today to bring to your attention some of the other fine shows here on KISL. Unfortunately, I don't get to come over and do the show live in the KISL studio every week. I wish I could. But there's plenty of live programming on KISL. Buster kicks off each weekend, Friday evenings at 6, for 3 solid hours of Buster's Weekend Kickoff. Buster is followed by Alex Sanchez, better known to many as Freak Dog, and he's here live every Friday night from 9 to midnight with the world-famous Kissel Radio Hour. From 4 to 6 on Saturday afternoons, Teen Time immediately precedes our Saturday rebroadcast, And following our Saturday rebroadcast is Radio Free Catalina with Steve-O and Rambo from 9 to midnight. If you like the Beatles, and who doesn't like the Beatles, Buster is back live with 90 minutes of all Beatles all the time on Buster Plays the Beatles. That's 8:30 to 10 on Sunday mornings. There's live programming during the week as well with T's Bluegrass Hour Tuesday evenings at 7:30, followed immediately by Peter Dixon's African Nomad Show. There's lots more, too, and you can check it all out at kislavalon.com. Last week, September 9th, marked the admission to the Union in 1850 of the 31st of the United States of America, California. I guess I'm a bad citizen or a poor student of California history, but I either never knew or forgot that Sacramento was not always the capital of California. Now, come on, admit it. I'll bet most of you listeners in California didn't know that either. Anyway, the first capital of California was San Jose. San Jose didn't have facilities for a proper state capital, so for a few weeks at the end of 1852 and the beginning of 1853, the legislature met in what would become the city of Vallejo. There weren't adequate facilities in Vallejo either, so the capital was soon moved 3 miles east to Benicia. Although a brick statehouse was built, the site was too small for expansion, and in 1854 the capital was moved to Sacramento. So to commemorate California's admission to the Union, here are some rapidly rotating records about California, beginning with Paul Howard's Quality Serenaders.
We'll be right back. the soft moonlight beaming, wondrous flowers, happy hours, poinsettia blossoms, what a blooming, nightshades are falling that call me back to you.
We began our musical trip to California with Paul Howard's Quality Serenaders, a name which may not mean much to many, but the drummer and scat vocalist on that February 3, 1930 recording of California Swing was Lionel Hampton, who joined Benny Goodman's quartet in 1936 as a vibraphonist and whose name you may recognize. California Swing was written by Earl Thompson, who played trumpet in the band. Next, from around March 24, 1927, it was Irwin Abrams and his orchestra, credited on the label of that perfect 78 as the Chicagoans, and Beautiful California. The vocalist was Arthur Singer, and Beautiful California was written in 1921 by C.E. Storer and Raymond DeWitt. We finished up with Abe Lyman's Ambassador Hotel Orchestra, recording in Los Angeles on July 30, 1923, and California Blues. You heard a solo in there by trumpeter Ray Lopez, backed by pianist Gus Arnheim, who went on to lead his own band, of course. California Blues was written by Alfred Evans and Elmer G. Patton. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL, Avalon, in New Zealand on the Wellsford Country Radio Network, 105.8 FM, and available on demand anytime at all online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com, shamrockradio.com, and on iTunes as a podcast. Last week, September 9th, marked the birth in 1894 in Charleston, South Carolina, of Arthur Grossman. You may not recognize that name, but you may know him by his professional name, Arthur Freed, and if not, you have certainly heard his songs. He was raised in Seattle, Washington, and after high school went to work for a Chicago music publisher as a pianist and song plugger, after which he toured the vaudeville circuit as a singer and writer. In 1921, he met his most frequent collaborator, Nacio Herb Brown, and a couple years later, Freed had his first hit, I Cried for You, written with Gus Arnheim and Abe Lyman. He joined MGM as a lyricist, where he began working with Brown, and the two were responsible for most of the songs from the studio's early musicals, including 1929's Broadway Melody, which featured the tunes You Were Meant for Me, Broadway Melody, and The Wedding of the Painted Doll. The pair also wrote Singin' in the Rain for the film Hollywood Review of 1929. Freed went on to produce more than 50 movies, including Meet Me in St. Louis and Easter Parade, and served as president of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences from 1963 to 1966. He died in Los Angeles on April 12, 1973. Here are three from the pen of Arthur Freed. Thank you.
rainbow. Each morning, noon, and night, I'm floating on a daydream. I'm higher than a kite. My heart is all a flutter. I heard you utter, yes. I want the world to know, all the folks below, I'm dancing on a rainbow. A pocket full of sunshine I'll gather for you soon. And later in the evening I'll go and get the moon. Romancing up in heaven while angels sing a song, I'm dancing on a rainbow all day long.
Would it be too bold? Should I reveal?
There you have three from the songwriting team of Arthur Freed and Nacio Herb Brown. We just heard Jack Albin's Hotel Pennsylvania Orchestra and the musical question, Should I? The vocalist on that December 23, 1929 recording was Scrappy Lambert, and Should I was featured in a number of different films. Before that, it was Maurice Cross with Don Bester and his orchestra, and I'm Dancing on a Rainbow from October 11, 1933. That's from the 1933 MGM picture Stage Mother, where it was sung by Maureen O'Sullivan. We began our tribute to Arthur Freed with the Broadway Nightlights, a Ben Selvin band, and You Were Meant for Me. The vocalist there was Dick Robertson, and that recording is from February 4th, 1929. Earlier, I told you about some of the other fine programs here on KISL, and now I want to remind you about all the different ways you can hear them. Of course, there's good old terrestrial radio at KISL FM 88.7 Avalon on your radio dial. And our signal from here on the island makes it to some surprising locations on the mainland. Besides much of the South Bay coast, we reach Malibu, portions of the San Fernando Valley, and even inland San Diego County. But if you can't receive our broadcast signal and you have an internet connection, you can hear KISL on your desktop computer, laptop computer, iPad, or other tablet just by going to www.kislavalon.com. Don't have a computer or tablet? Well, even if all you have is a smartphone, you can hear KISL on your phone through a nifty app called TuneIn Radio. So you have no excuse whatsoever for not listening to KISL 24/7, no matter where in the world you are. You probably recognize that sound as the roar of Leo the Lion in MGM's logo, which appears at the beginning of all MGM films. The MGM logo has a long and interesting history going all the way back to 1916 when it was used by the Golden Pictures Studios, and it has featured a number of different lions, the first one actually named Slats. So what does the MGM logo have to do with rapidly rotating records? Well, the MGM logo was originally designed by lyricist Howard Dietz, born September 6, 1896 in New York City. While attending Columbia University's School of Journalism, he worked at the Philip Goodman Advertising Agency, but left Columbia to enlist in the Navy. After World War I, he became publicity director for Goldwyn Pictures Corporation, where he created Leo the Lion trademark, including the slogan Ars Gratia Artis, or Art for Art's Sake. When Goldwyn merged with Metro Pictures and Louis B. Mayer Pictures in 1924, Dietz began his 30-year career as director of advertising and publicity for MGM. His simultaneous career as a lyricist began with the uncredited Alibi Baby for W.C. Fields' Broadway show Poppy in 1923. His most frequent collaborator was Arthur Schwartz, and their first hit was The Little Show in 1929, but the pair continued to write hit Broadway revues throughout the 1930s. During World War II, he ran the publicity and promotion of war bonds for the U.S. Treasury and was a director of ASCAP from 1959 to 61. He died in New York City on July 30, 1983. Here are three from the pen of Howard Dietz.
She's the reason I got a brand new tie and a brand new suit. When I'm with her, gotta look my best. Put on my tan shoes, brace pants, double-breasted vest. Gotta wear my stick pin, it's a tecla pearl. With that brand new tie, the brand new suit, the brand new girl. Thank you. must know the reason why I got a brand new girl. And I won't dispute. She's the reason why I got a brand new tie and a brand new suit. When I'm with her, gotta love my best. Put on my tan shoes, then fast, double-breasted vest. Like you only get that stick with her. It's Peg LaPearl with this brand new tie.
Said I love you. Oh, tell me, will you remember too? I'll always remember. I told the stars above you my wishes, and every wish came true. I looked into your eyes, and then my search was ended. All the things I longed to know I knew. And if we meet sometime or never, within my heart forever,
We began our tribute to Howard Dietz with Fats Waller, who got a brand new suit on August 20th, 1935. That was followed by Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians, who were dancing in the dark on May 15th, 1931. The three girlfriends and the whole band pitched in on that vocal. We finished up with Ray Starita and his Ambassadors Band with the vocal by Lou Abelardo and I'll Always Remember. That was recorded in London on December 23rd, 1929, the same day as Should I from the last set. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll tune in or click in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention. ¶¶